Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. I am your host, Ken Seymour. Today, I am ecstatic to invite a guest that is a writer. She is an actress. She is a producer. A woman about the world. We have Charlotte Kirk with us today. How are you doing?
I'm great, Ken. Thank you for having me.
I have to admit, I'm rather excited. I always am when I get to talk to anybody in the industry, but especially considering some of the projects you've been involved with, some of the work that you've done. I have enjoyed myself, and you've got some really interesting stuff coming up here that I can't wait to talk about. But I have to start at the very, very beginning. You got started very early. How did that acting bug bite you?
Well, there wasn't actually a defining moment where, like, I saw something or watched something and was like, I need to act. It was more of a gradual thing, to be honest. I always struggled during school. I'm dyslexic, so academic maths, English was very difficult for me. And then the first time I stepped into my drama class, just a drama class in elementary school, I loved it, and it felt like the first thing I actually connected to. So I absolutely couldn't wait to have my once or twice a week acting class. And then I wanted to pursue it more, so I went to drama class at the weekends when I was in secondary school, and then after school I went to drama school. And it was actually when I was 19 years old, someone said to me here in the UK, Charlotte, you want to be an actor? Go to the US. I didn't think twice. I said, okay, packed up my bags, and that was that.
That takes a lot of courage for some of us. It takes me a lot just to get to the store. I don't know about moving to another country. I used to ask this a very specific question to any actor that I would get the chance to speak to. And the more I ask this question, the dumber I feel that it was. So I'm going to change this. I used to ask, do you prefer to act in stage or screen? And instead of that, now, since you've had plenty of experience in both, what I would love to know, what is your favorite aspect of each?
My favorite aspect of stage is you're feeling the energy of the audience in that moment. You're doing it for the audience in that moment. Whereas film, you're doing it for the camera and you do multiple takes and you don't know if that's going to end on the cutting room floor or not. But then the great thing about movies is it's a different kind of energy on set, which is incredible because you're only going to do that one scene, that one, scene or take that day, maybe two, and that's it. And you're not going to do it again. So you get to appreciate them differently. Very, very different.
When you did your first recorded piece, whether that be television, commercial, movie, was there something about the process that surprised you? Something that, because you train to be the character, you're there, but there's so many aspects to the production process. Was there something that just jumped out at you? Just like, I didn't even think about that.
I trained theater, and obviously, when you're training for the stage, you're never really prepared for having a big fat camera in front of you. So that's why acting for stage and acting, you have acting classes for screen is very important. Now it's second nature. Now it's like a third character. You're oblivious to it unless you need to look in the camera. That was a shocking thing for me. And a lot of people, I guess, get distracted by it at first, but then over time, practice, exercises, it just, you forget it's there. You need to forget it's there.
That makes sense. Through your training, when I was doing my research, it seems, at least in the way that it is presented online and the places that I found it, that you seem to prefer method acting. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I guess every foundation of acting comes from Stanislavski, or you've got obviously lots of other techniques, method, as you said, and There's many, but I guess I like to, I take what I like, what I need, depending on the scene and the character. But I personally like to use my own experiences because for me, I wouldn't know how to act something if I've never felt like that before. I don't know. Otherwise, you'd kind of be making it up, and you want to be as truthful as possible. So, if you haven't felt love or hate or betrayal before, I don't know how you would be able to act that truthfully.
Yeah, that makes sense. In the process of your training, you had some pretty big time teachers that were able to impart some wisdom, impart some skills. Was there a piece of advice that you have gotten either from like Susan Batson or Lee Strasberg that still sticks with you?
Oh, Susan Batson had an incredible impact on me. She was just incredible. On her email, like she signs her email with "always be in the art," which I love. She's just, I wouldn't say it was a particular piece of advice. Just doing many classes with her, many one-to-ones with her, has trained me, my mind, how to approach a character now, which is incredible. And I don't think I would be at the level I am today without her.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say advice, it's just many things. One, you know, every class is different. She would say, she'll pick up on a moment if I'm not being truthful or whatever it is. And then you remember that and you learn from it. And then you apply it to the next scene and the next character.
Every person that I know of that's interacted with her has just always had such glowing things to say about her. And it's like, oh, so this is somebody that I need to meet at some point.
Oh, yeah. It's just incredible. Yeah.
All right. So coming up in the business, this is also something, just count, trying to put myself in the position of somebody that's creating and making these things. I always imagine if I were in that position that there would be some moment where I would go, okay, I'm here. I did it because I was able to get this role, or because I won this award, or because I worked with this set of people. I'm really an actor now. Did you have anything that you felt was like that for you?
You have some incredible questions. You hit on such amazing points. I love where this is going. No. And I thought I would. That's the thing. So I thought that, okay, I'd go to the US, I'd do a couple of movies. And if I'm in a movie, then wow, I've been in a movie. That would be that. No, I've done one movie. And now what if I could just star in a movie? No, that's never going to happen. Okay, but let's see. If it happens, I've arrived. I did that. Well, I would just love to win some awards, to be an award-winning actress. I did that. Okay, so what about if I just star in an indie and then like a small role in a studio film? I did that. It's never, ever, 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 ever enough. I'm never going to be enough, but I have to learn. I'm trying to learn to accept that. And I think that if you do reach that place of I've arrived, that's quite dangerous. Because then what's left at the top of the mountain? What's left? Then it's, okay, is that it? I think you've always got, it's human nature, you've always got to be striving and moving forward. But also very important to smell the flowers and appreciate what I have achieved, which I don't do personally enough, and I need to do, and I'm trying to work on that.
So what you're telling me...
I feel like this is a therapy session.
Well, so long as you feel good at the end of it, I'm good with that. So what you're trying to tell me is that there's nowhere in your house that there is the Charlotte Kirk Wall of Fame where you've got all of the awards that you've won, you know, highlighted with the canned lights and, you know, just the sparkles and everything, and you can just flip it on and the music comes on.
Do you know, I've got a couple of posters and a couple of awards around my house, but you know what's crazy? Like, I was on the phone earlier. I was just doing an interview, and you're just like lost. I'm looking at it, at the award, and I'm just like lost in my conversation. I'm just like, oh, that's pretty, but it's not actually sinking in or digesting. Yeah, it's But they're scattered, which is good. I think it's good to have them around the house to remember, and they're good reminders. But maybe I need sticker notes instead.
Little gets you that, like you said, a museum. That's what it is. You get that little card beneath it. It's like, this was in 1990, whatever.
Yeah. I don't. Yes, it's like when I'm watching one of my films. I'm like, oh God, it's really difficult to watch it. I think that happened that day. Oh God, yeah. Oh, that was a good day on set. Yeah. That was not good.
So, okay, I've got a corollary question then, since we're talking about the awards, and this is something different. The everyday person, often doesn't get the opportunity to be recognized in the same kind of way. And I have to wonder, what is the feeling? What is the kind of, it seems like it would be almost surreal to have to say, okay, you're being nominated for this award. We're going to have this giant gala. Everybody's going to come up. You're either going to win or you're not. But if you win, you've got to come up and give this little thank you speech. What does it feel like to be in that kind of a position? Is it as weird feeling to me imagining it as it is in real life, or is it just kind of like, oh, it's like, I'm fine. I'll take a piece of cake up with me. And
I don't know. I mean, it's nice when you get the audience awards, right? Because it's from the audience. When it's from a panel, I guess that's still great, but it's nice to get, my satisfaction is really from the audience, right? When I'm watching my movie and I get the reaction that I'm hoping to get, the laughter, the cry, the scream, whatever it is, that's really the most rewarding for me.
I imagine that making the lifelong connections that you have and the projects that you do are probably a good part of that too. I was looking at your Instagram feed and I couldn't help but notice a couple of pictures. I mean, you've got a ton of pictures on the Instagram feed and they're all a lot of fun, but the ones that really kind of stuck out to me is there's one with you and John Hannah and a couple of other people. And I'm assuming that was from the production. Right. It just looked like you were all having so much fun in that moment. What was that picture?
That was on our lunch break, and it was my first day working with John. So we were kind of like, we had the morning together. So we kind of all loosened up because we were all getting to know each other, and it was just super cool. It's like, it doesn't matter if I'm working with John Hannah or Sandra Bullock or an up-and-coming actor. Like, we're all here to do the same job. It doesn't matter if it's a big studio movie or an indie movie, every set is the same. That's the way I see it, and you've got to have that, bring that good energy and vibe to set. Otherwise, like, what's the point? And when you make it, the audience sees it. That's what I'm excited about, like Duchess. I think that you see the fun in that movie and what went into it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that preview is no joke. It definitely sells the film quite well. I know I'm looking forward to it. Just one more about the picture. So that John Hannah picture is probably my second favorite. Can you tell me about the picture of you and Emma Thompson?
Oh, she was incredible. That was the Inspirational Women Awards. And yeah, we had a beautiful long conversation about the industry and how tough it is and life and women, being a woman. And yeah, she was just a beautiful soul. I've noticed that with very successful big actors, that they have this aura and charisma and energy about them that you can't quite put your finger on. Like, everyone was trying to talk to her in the room and get her attention because she's Emma Thompson. Right. But she was so on our conversation and me, it was like, wow. Like, not because I'm important or the conversation was great, it's just she cares. She cares about who she's talking to, and she's devoted on everything she does. She's very devoted. It's just incredible. She's just an incredible, caring, empathetic woman. Yeah.
She's still, talking about people that you always want a chance to meet. She's always been on my list ever since I saw the film adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing. And it's like, oh, she's just amazing. And every time I see her, she's like, oh, is she going to be good in this? Of course she's going to be good in this. She's good in everything. Just that kind of skill level is amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, kind of being in the presence of so many people with skill, I was looking at some of your previous works, and the first thing that really, really jumped out at me that made me think, it's like, wow, that cast is just stacked. Everybody on it is amazing. I saw that you were part of the film How to Be Single, and mm-hmm. just the sheer level of talent that was involved with that film. What was it like to be part of that production?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, obviously on a bigger studio movie, you've got more elaborate sets and more time and obviously more money. So everything was more chilled, and it was a good vibe. I mean, it was a very small, I don't want to say small role, but you know, I was there for one day, but it was awesome. My scene was with Alison Brie. And yeah, it was a really good vibe. Very quick, in and out, but it was cool. It was cool to be part of it.
Well, in comparing a larger production with a smaller production, what are the aspects? If you were given a choice to make, I'm going to produce the next film, would you prefer it to be a big budget film or something that's more intimate and smaller?
To be honest, it really depends on for me, it's all about the script and the story. Like I've done, Duchess was quite a big budget for indies. And then I've done budget, smaller productions, half that size and even lower than that. And it really just depends on what the film requires. You know, some scripts, they need bigger budgets, but some don't. So it just depends on what story I want to make next.
That makes sense. Do you prefer to have a hand in that writing? I mean, you've got the experience, or is it more one of those things like, I enjoy creating the story, but I'd rather just be part of the film and just making it that way?
I kind of produce out of necessity because I like some great roles, because I think finding good scripts is very difficult, and then finding good scripts for a good female role is even more difficult. So that's why I started to create and write my own stuff. That's kind of out of necessity, producing and writing. I just really enjoy the acting, but I do like the overall process of producing, I guess, having a germ of an idea and then seeing it right to the very end. That's very rewarding.
Yeah. Your production company that you created, you know, after you've been on one aspect, you know, focusing on one aspect of the business and then having to shift gears, is it shifting gears or is it just adding skills?
Well, I try and separate them, but it's very difficult. Like if we have an urgent situation on set and I'm the producer and I'm acting in it, it's very tough. But the minute I step on set as an actor and the director calls action, I'm an actor. That's it. I'm like, no, I'm not the producer right now. I'm not the writer. Like I'm just the actress. You know, I think that's really important. And for the other actors to feel comfortable that I'm the actress, I'm not the producer. Don't worry. You know, that's very important to me. So I'm just, depending where I am. If I'm writing, I'm writing. If I'm acting, it's separate. Producing, something else. I really like to separate them.
So, okay, you're on the production side of the whole thing. You're gonna be putting some sort of a project together. For those of us that's not seen on that side of the curtain, what is something that is an aspect of that role that most people would not realize is part of an important part of making a project come together and seeing the light of day?
Producing, you mean? Or
mm-hmm.
Finding the money to make it?
You can't finding just the go money friends?
Is number one. Kind of being a magician, I guess, in a way, like juggling so many things at once, like figuring out how to handle people and egos and, you know, like orchestrating a whole army to come together and make this film. So I think mainly the financials, and then second, multitasking different aspects of the logistics.
I bet it has a more fulfilling feeling though, because you were, you know, hands in it from the very beginning, and you know, it's all your effort and you're in your group's effort to just make this happen and create something from nothing. And I'm sure you're always going to feel good about, you know, whatever part you have in a production, but when it's really from the germination point, I have to imagine it's almost like raising a kid.
It is very true, but it's all, yeah, like Duchess was my baby for sure. But you know, I just did two films back to back and I was just acting in them. And I have to say, it was beautiful. They were running behind. I was like, it's not my movie. I don't have to worry. I'm just here to be the actress and that's that. And it was
I love it.
not.
So, okay, so let me ask you about another one of your previous films that I had to ask about, because I always, I've been in a handful of, theatrical productions here and there, and one of my favorite parts was always when whatever it was that I was going to do had it was a period piece or something that had just a lot of fun bits to the set or to the ensemble. And Reckoning really kind of felt like one of those films where you got to kind of be in a different vibe, different feel. What was it like to be kind of part of that production?
Reckoning's very special to me because it was my first movie that I co-wrote, produced, and starred in, and that was the one that I won all the awards for. Opened Fantasia, and you know, it went to cinemas. It opened up during COVID. I mean, it was very strange how the film is about a plague, and literally COVID happened after that. The film was about something else connection to. Oh no, the next my next movie, The Lair, had a connection with something else, but I'll go into that. But that was an incredibly and yes, yeah, so that was a very special movie for me for many reasons. And the first film that I was number one on the call sheet, I had to learn things that I've never thought I would do. Learn how to sword fight, learn how to horse ride, absorb myself into this period piece, England 1665. During the Great Plague. So, incredible. Yeah, a very challenging role emotionally.
Okay,
Emotionally.
learning sword fighting. Now, did they teach you the English style, the Spanish style? Was it kind of a cross section of multiple things?
Kind of cross. Yeah, it was really back in the day. Like Grace, my character, was more of a regular girl. She wasn't an expert or a, you know, sword fighter or anything. So it was just fighting for her life. That was it. But you know, handling a sword and all of that, I've never quite done that before.
The getting those special skills that you need to pull off a role is always one of my favorite parts of hearing about in the process. And I'm sure there's a certain aspect of that with Duchess as well. I mean, there is a certain amount of, for lack of a better word, kickassery that has to occur. What did you have to do to prepare for the physicality of the role?
So the nice thing about Duchess is she is just an ordinary girl. You know, she's not an action hero. She's not a spy, but she's a tough girl who's an amateur. She's a boxer. She likes to box. So, and that comes in later on where she's having to kick ass and survive. So I had to learn to box for this one, which was really cool and quite challenging, especially one day where I had to literally box. I had to box in the boxing ring and learn or and say my lines at the same time, and that was like literally patting my head and rubbing my belly at the same time. Like, oh my God, I've got to learn how I'm figuring out all my boxing moves and say the dialogue at the same time. That was very tough for me.
Now, were you ever a fan of martial arts of any kind before this, or was this kind of more right into it for the first time for you, your first exposure, as it were?
It was really like my well, the film before The Lair, I'd done it's quite a lot of action in that one actually. I had to learn how to fire a AK-47. I'd never done that before, I'd never fired a gun before, so I had to learn that one. So I'd done some action before this, which I absolutely love. I love working, especially when you've got a great stunt team. You know, they really help make or break a movie like this, you know, when it's just so action driven.
And the whole cast seems, again, just like a really, really great group. But I have to ask. I have, again, one of those instances where you're working with somebody that has always been kind of one of those bucket list individuals to meet. So I have to ask what it was like to work with Colm Meaney.
Absolutely amazing. I was pretty worried. It was like the last day of filming and I was like, oh my God, he's coming in, he's coming. I'd never met him before, didn't rehearse with him, nothing. Literally, I met him on the day of the scene. It was last day of filming I hadn't had a chance to rehearse with him or anything like that beforehand. So, and he's my dad in it, and I'm visiting him in prison, and I hadn't seen him in many years. And that was it. Like, boom. Oh, he was incredible. Just incredible. Incredible. I saw the character. I didn't see the actor. And that was, that's when you know they're good.
That's got to be so much. Was there an aspect of the creation of this film that is maybe your favorite bit that that you'll kind of take with you forever?
I just loved I just loved how character driven it is, as opposed to genre driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about monsters or ghosts or witches. It's about Scarlet and her resilience and her rise to power. And that's what I love about it. And that's what I think I'm hoping the audience are going to love about it. Like, she's so cool. Yes, she's an anti-hero. She's badass, but she's doing it out of revenge and out of love. And, you know, this is her rise to power. It's, I think she's really, really cool. I'd want to be her friend.
Yeah.
Cool, fun character. She's really cool.
Like I said, if dear listeners, you haven't had the chance to take a look at the little snippet preview, it'll get you ready. It'll definitely be there. It's got everything. It's got diamonds and oranges. a little bit of fighting here and there, and some great menace to overcome. I'm looking forward to it. So that's coming out on August 9th on digital on demand, right? Correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to that one. But you've got some other stuff coming up that's going to be a lot of fun too. I saw it's still a little ways off, but Compulsion comes out next year, right?
Compulsion comes out next year. Very excited about that. It's an erotic thriller, kind of a giallo vibe. Big inspiration was the Italian, old Italian giallo films. So very excited about that. Also Fight or Flight with Dolph Lundgren and Michael J. White.
So cool.
And yeah, Possession of Gladstone Manor with Lynn Shay, Barbara Crampton, Jesse Metcalf. So yeah, I'm excited. There's some variety coming out.
How is it, this also seems like something that would be really weird or a little surreal. When you have so many projects and you're completing the projects in a different potential order than when they actually come out, how do you keep everything straight? Because you know you're going to have to go on shows like this one and talk about it and you know, promote it and that sort of thing. What is the skill you have to learn to be able to keep all that going?
Do you know what? Because it's such an engraved, meaningful memory, filming this film and developing it, and all my films, acting, producing, whatever it is, it's just like talking about it like I did it yesterday. I remember it. I could talk about The Reckoning that I did a few years ago, The Lair. I just have it installed in my mind. Yeah, I don't find it difficult to get into it.
That's reassuring. There's the word that I was looking for.
Reassuring.
It was floating around trying to elude my grasp, but it was there. Do you one thing I saw, this is something that I found mildly amusing, is, you know, I always look at who works with who and, you know, the kind of interesting interactions that you can have or the chemistry that you can have, or just sometimes certain actors tend to work together multiple times. And I found it interesting that you've worked with like Bruce Willis three times now on different films.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah.
How does that happen?
Again, absolutely amazing. Again, he's just effortless, got this charisma and energy that's just so effortless. He just has to smile and you're like, yeah, that's Bruce. That's it. That's all he needs to do.
Yeah. I'm taken back to the days of Moonlighting.
Oh, yeah. Die Hard, classics. Classics.
Definitely.
Yeah, I like to work with people if I can. You know, you build up a kind of a, when you make a film, you build like a little family and then you separate and that's that. So it's always nice if you can come back together again.
Often I ask to any actor that I speak to, is there somebody that you have worked with that just kind of stopped you cold because they were somebody that you really respected, but you've had enough really awesome roles now that I have to think that role can reverse. Have you had anybody that you've worked with that seems to have just been stunned to have the chance to work with you? You don't have to name any names.
I know, not that I know of, because I really try and make them feel really comfortable and like whoever it is, and just try and talk to them before the scene as well. As a because a few times I've worked with big actors and it's like, hey, you're fresh together, and it's like, oh, hi, yeah, we're not even rehearsing. Okay, let's do it. But I always try and avoid that and try and make whoever I work with as comfortable as possible and crack a joke. And so, yeah, I always try and do that. I think it's very important.
Okay, so now we're going to expand into the realm of what ifs and the realm of potentiality. And I always like to ask a handful of questions. And one of my favorites that I have now that I always ask everybody that I can is, I'm going to create a situation for you. You're in Los Angeles. You're out, about to stop for a coffee. You go to your favorite coffee place. You sit down at a table. There's a beautiful lamp in front of you. It's like, oh, nice lamp. You touch the lamp and poof, a genie comes out wearing glasses and a suit because he is an industry genie. And he's willing to grant you three wishes, and the wishes are all very specific. You have the chance to work with any three people, whether they're directors, writers, actors, producers, whatever. Who are the three people that you would absolutely love to work with?
Can they be dead?
Yes. Nature of magic.
Okay. Marlon Brando. Elizabeth Taylor, Francis Ford Coppola.
So you're a classic. I see that now. That's so. If that's the case, what is your favorite film that you go back to? Because that means anybody that's got those three on their list, that they have that one film. It's like, okay, I love this, is my film. If I'm in a bad mood, I can watch, and it's going to make me feel better.
Well, I mean, Godfather was one of the inspirations for Duchess. I wanted to make a female Dom, like a Dom. I thought if we could be half as good as The Godfather, then we're, wow, you know, we're a huge success. You know, hopefully people are going to love the film. On the Waterfront, Marlon Brando was incredible. There hasn't been anyone like him. I don't think there will ever be. He was, he transformed acting, and he was one of a kind. Liz Taylor as well. Just a real movie star. That, yeah. You know, that era, wasn't it? We don't have that anymore, unfortunately.
No.
It's a beautiful era.
But, you know, maybe we'll get something even better.
Sorry? Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. True.
All right. Well, how about this? Part of our podcast, one of our things that we tend to focus on, is the intersection of comic books and other media. Are you a comic book fan at all?
I don't read them, but I appreciate them.
It's a good answer. I like it. It's very, very political, or apolitical, whatever gets you off the hook, that one. Well, how about this? We love to, because that it's maybe not as big as it was a few years ago with all the comic book films, but it's still that kind of staggering force in the industry. So I always like to know, if you had a chance to play any comic book character in a movie, who would it be and why?
Give me three options.
Okay. Three different characters. How about Felicia Hardy, the Black Cat from Marvel? We'll go with something more.
I was just thinking that role that Halle Berry played, where she played the cat.
Catwoman, yeah. That's DC's version, kind of the same thing.
Woman, Red Sonja, Barbarella. I'm not sure if that's a comic book, no. But that kind of vibe.
Oh, I like it. The Red Sonja. That one needs to come back because it's been a little while since we've had some. They tried to do a Conan resurrection that didn't maybe go quite as well as we would have hoped. But
maybe. Yeah, that
would be. Red Sonja. Yeah, I could deal with a reset of that one. That would be good. I love that answer. Okay, now, how about something that has nothing to do with acting or the industry at all? We love things that bring people together. Nothing brings people together like food. So, are you a pizza person? And if so, what is your favorite type of pizza?
Pepperoni, lots of cheese, and barbecue sauce.
don't get too many times where you get barbecue sauce and pepperoni on the same pizza. I like that.
Definitely.
Do you have, I have to wonder, you know, thinking about you split your time between Los Angeles and London. Is there a good pizza place in London?
Well, we have a chain of restaurants, Pizza Express and Pizza Hut. They're not bad, but I don't think you can beat a New York pizza, to be honest.
Well, if you're in London then, and you have to get something, you know that pizza's off the menu, what is your go-to place? What's the thing that makes you feel happy when you go there and get something?
A Big Mac.
I
Can't
like
beat a
it.
big drive-through Big Mac, French fries, and lots of ketchup.
That
Oh
is
yeah,
awesome. That is awesome. I love it.
sounds good.
All right. Well, then I want to first just thank you so much for the opportunity to ask you some questions, to have you on the show. If our listeners want to find out what you're doing next, what are the best ways that they can find you?
My Instagram, Charlotte Kirk. My Facebook page as well. It's the same, Charlotte Kirk Official. Yeah, they're the best two ways to updates and all that good stuff.
I love it. So they don't want to go to, as I was going to say, go to the official website. It's got everything, so many clips. One thing I loved about your website was that I don't see in a lot of other websites is it has the newsreel, just the whole that
That's
whole
cool.
list.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. Also, Ken, if you happen to be in LA August 6th, would love to invite you to the premiere of Duchess.
Ooh, I would love to do that. I am otherwise engaged, unfortunately, during that period, but
Oh, okay, no worries. You watch it on the ninth.
I will definitely be watching this one. As soon as I saw the preview, there's no question. It's like, this is right up my alley. I'm going to enjoy it. I already know I am. But thank you again, and I hope when you have another project coming out, you'll come back and talk to us again.
100%, 100%. Thank you.
Thank you so much.